Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Just in light of everything that's going on, like I continue to say, this is not a loss for the church. This is stuff they were already doing, right? When they legalized weed, that was something they were already doing. Now they just think that it's right. But guess what? Paul said, back in your day, you used to live like this. He said the same thing to the Corinthians, to the Thessalonians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians. But you have been set free from sin, and now you have chose to become a servant to God and his righteousness. Amen. So the mission for the church does not change. This is why it's important that we understand God's plan for our life. Just because things are getting more and more out of control, they're giving people more freedom to do what they already have been doing. Know that that doesn't change the mission of God. God's mission doesn't change. Amen. So we cannot, let's not be down. Let's not look and say, oh man, what are we going to do? Let's continue to keep our heads up and continue to spread the gospel. Amen. And for some, even the disciples said, this same gospel that I preach, it has me in chains. Guess what? People don't like you when you start preaching the gospel. And there's only two choices. Pastor Nate always said, it's either revival or riot. When you preach the gospel, some people are going to hate it or they're going to love it. There's no in between, right? So we just got to keep on doing what we're doing, amen? Let's get back into this series. I'm excited about this series. I pray that you are too. We are talking about understanding God's plan. Through Joseph, we understand God's plan for our life, amen? My key scripture, once again, is trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6, with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Why do we not lean to our own understanding? Because there's going to be times in your life where you don't understand why this thing is happening. But you say, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust in God's understanding. And lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. See, what you want to do everywhere you go and everything you do, acknowledge him, Jesus, and he will direct your paths. Amen? We got to remember this. Now, we're going to pick up in Joseph chapter 43. Quick recap. Joseph had brothers. I'm sorry. Yeah, Joseph. There is no book of Joseph. My bad. Genesis chapter 43. Joseph had brothers. They didn't like him because he had dreams that he made himself look better than them. In this instance, Joseph didn't understand how to use the gift God gave him. So his brothers sold him into slavery because they were jealous of his dreams, right? And then, like I said last couple weeks, people, if they don't have a dream for themselves, they'll hate your dream. Got me? So after that, he was sold into slavery, sold into Potiphar's house. Potiphar, when he got to Egypt, it said they recognized Joseph was a blessed man. We don't know how long it took, but he ended up ruling Potiphar's house under Potiphar, but Potiphar didn't have nothing to do. Joseph did everything. Then, in the middle of his blessing, sin creeped in, but Joseph ran from it. Amen? And now he was thrown into the pit. He was the prisoner in the prison. The prison guard gave Joseph the job. He didn't really have it. He was on vacation for a long time. He said, Joseph got it. But he was in the pit. But he realized, he began to speak the things that when dreams come, it was God that revealed the dreams. Joseph was trying to find it out on his own. So now he's speaking that. He gets the revelation of what the dreams mean from God. He interprets it to these people. One person dies, like he said, the other one gets back into power. But Joseph was in there still for 2 years after that. We don't even know how long he was in prison, but some of us, we just get caught up in that prison mentality like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But when you're down, that's when you need to realize even the most that God is still God. He's still on the throne. I'm going to continue to move forth in my mission and my purpose. And that's what Joseph did. So when his appointed time of arrival came up, somebody say appointed time. Because look, if you're not ready for what God has for you, because you haven't been seeking God when you thought it was meaningless, that's called integrity. If your integrity is not on board, when that opportunity comes, you won't be ready. But guess what? Joseph was ready. Same thing happened. The Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and Joseph even told him, it was not me, but it was God. He also told him, look, this is what you need to do to be ready, because this is what's going to happen. You need to get somebody smart enough that can do that. Pharaoh said, hold up, you the guy. Let's put you in charge. Joseph went from the pit to the palace, right? He was running a prison. Now he's running Egypt. Pharaoh said, the only thing that I have greater than you is the throne. That's it. But he was ready. Amen. And he understood God's plan. Last week, we saw Joseph's brothers come to him. And he kept one of the brothers, right? Kept one of the brothers. But why did he keep them? That's what we got to find out. Let's start. Joseph, Genesis chapter 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt that their father said, go back, buy us a little food. Now we don't know how long this took. Now if my brothers was captive, do you think we would have made haste to go back and get them? Right? They waited till the food was gone. Right? You see that? But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man Solomon warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy your food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. And Israel said, why do you deal so wrongfully with me as I tell the man whether you had still another brother? But they said, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to these words, could we possibly have known that he would say, bring down your brother? So they're just telling the truth right here. Verse 8 says, then Judah said to Israel, his father, send a lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time. All right, so he's even saying, we're trying to go back. Is the brother that was in prison, his name was Reuben, right? His other brother was in prison. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land and your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts. Somebody say pistachios. Wow, they had pistachios back then, huh? And almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of the sacks. Perhaps it was oversight. It was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man, and may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. All right? So they're in a situation. They don't know what's going on. But this is what happens when you have lived a life of fear your whole life. You don't want people to know what you've done. That's why we was at a men's breakfast today. It's important to confess your sins, right? Now, let me be clear about this, because some people go confess their sins on Facebook. Some people go confess their sins on a street corner. That's not what you do. You find a man or woman of God, like they said, that's not going to spread your business about. Amen? It's important, because there's going to be some things that, if you're struggling with it right now, that you need to speak it so that you can stop struggling in it. But also, there might be some stuff you did 15 years ago we don't need to know about. Right? That's just between you and God. If you've asked for forgiveness 15 years ago, don't come tell me your whole life story of every wrong thing you've done. We don't got time for that. Amen. God has forgiven you. We have to forgive you as well. Amen. So it says in verse 15, so the men took that present and Benjamin and took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were what? Afraid. Somebody say afraid. Man, they lived a life of fear ever since Joseph left. Do you realize that? See, I always tell people there's a difference between faith and fear. When you operate in what God calls you to operate, you can walk in faith. Because you obey God's word, you expect God to obey his word. When you operate in fear, you don't do God's word. Amen. You're not doing God's word, so you're always under the, man, God is about to crush me. Right? Especially for the people that know about God. That's why it's the worst thing when you see somebody that was walking for the Lord, they go back to the world, they can't never really get in with the crowd. The people even in the crowd know that, man, you're not even supposed to be here. So what do? They try to work harder and harder to prove themselves, right? But they are operating in fear, knowing that God already has a call for their life. Amen. But for us to understand God's plan, we must walk in his word so we can walk in faith and not fear. It says, now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, it is because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us to take us as slaves with our donkeys. See, what are they fearing? The same thing that happened to Joseph. Wow, isn't that crazy? He's going to take us as slaves. Why? Because that's what they did. They still got that blood, so to say, on their hands. Because they haven't confessed this thing. Okay? It says, when they draw near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. But it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks. And there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we brought it back in our hands, and we had brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. Okay? I had your money. Then he brought Simeon, out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and they gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that he would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house, and they bowed down before him to the earth. Now, what is this happening again? His dream. Guys, remember that? Then he asked them about their well-being and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? And they answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. So they sat him a place by himself and them by themselves. And the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. Now, isn't that crazy? We never knew the Egyptians had abominations. Right? It said the Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews. Which doesn't make sense because Joseph was a Hebrew. But he ate with all of them. But they didn't know. Well, actually, they knew. And it says, and they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked into the in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and with Mary and were merry with him. Okay? So Joseph already, without revealing himself, this is the plan that God had for Joseph to take care of his family. Amen? All of the slavery, all of the jail time, all of those different things that he went through were to help in this time the land of Egypt and his family. See, we got to always remember that God's plan is not just about you. Somebody say, God's plan is not just about me. God's plan is not always about me. Why do we say that? Because a blessing, if you have a blessing and it's only for you, it's not a blessing. Right? A blessing is to be handed down. A blessing is to be given to others. Joseph's whole plan was to provide for him. And as I said even last week, this was the promised situation that would happen that God showed Abraham would happen. He said they would go to Egypt. There will be slaves there, right, for a certain amount of years, but I'm going to take them out of that land even greater than when they came into that land. Amen? So Joseph, by going through what he went through, he is setting up the kingdom of God. Amen? All right. Now, let's go ahead and read this next chapter. This is called Joseph's Cup. Joseph gets a little bit crafty right here. Why? Because he's probably like, man, my brothers are on the hot seat. They're nervous about everything. Right? Let me shake them up just a little bit. So I'm going to paraphrase some of this. Joseph said, look, I got a gold cup. I want you to put it in one of these brothers' sacks. Matter of fact, put it in Benjamin's sack. Okay? Let them go. Give them all their food, everything they thought they needed. Let them go, right? So then he says, go after them. Find that cup and bring them back. Now, why did Joseph do this? We don't know. But this is some of the stuff that he does. And maybe he wanted to see if his brothers were going to treat Benjamin like they treated him. Right? Because remember, Benjamin is the same flesh that Joseph is. He's already gave Benjamin, like Benjamin's probably the smallest guy. He gave him five portions. Let me give him the best cut. Right here. Here you go, Benjamin. You're sitting right next to me, right? Why? Because Joseph realized that's the same. He has the same mom. So in doing this, he's trying to see if his brothers are going to let the same thing happen again. Have they learned from their situation? All right? So what happens is they catch up. And Judah, the same one that was like, let's sell this cat, was like, no, don't lay a hand on him. Take me instead. Right? Let's go start at verse 14. They wanted to take Benjamin. They tore their clothes. What does that mean when they tore their clothes? They're extremely sorrowful. They repent, right? When something happened and they needed to repent, they would tear their clothes. They would put ashes on their head and fast, right? So this is what they begin to do. And verse 14 says, so Judah and his brothers came to Joseph in the house, and he was still there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this that you've done? Did you not know such a man as I certainly practice divination? Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found. Okay, let's check this out. What are they doing here? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in this, in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go in the peace to your father. Then Judah, again, came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearings, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said, my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead. All right. And he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. So he's pleading like, yo, I'm trying to let you know what's going on. This can't go down. He said, and we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would what? Die. But you said to your servant, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother is not with us. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with you. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls you. You shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, this is Judah still talking. When I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in this, in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down gray hair of your servant, our father, who with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? Lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. All right. So what is he doing? He's repenting. Right. We already messed up. I can't let it happen again. Just imagine these years that mess up brought. It said that the father's life was, it's like the father only cared for the young kid, right? He didn't really care about them. Why? Maybe Israel was blaming them for what happened to Joseph. Maybe he had some kind of inclination of something happened. You guys did something. But he didn't have the same amount of joy that he had in Joseph and Benjamin with the rest of them, right? He loved Joseph and Benjamin more than the rest of them. Amen? But let's look at chapter 45. We're going to read this chapter, and then I'll be done for today. It says, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Now, what do you think they're thinking? Like, what is going on? Joseph is tripping, right? What else did he need? He run everything. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For who did it? Now, this is important because even when Judas sold Jesus into slavery, Jesus said the same thing. This was done so that God's will could be done. Some of us, we look so bad, or we look so much at what other people do to us, that we don't realize this is God setting us up for something. Right? All we worried about is, man, I can't wait to get that brother back. because he did this to me. I can't wait to get that person back because it took 20 years and I'm still dealing with the shame, the hurt that this. But guess what? God allowed you to go through that season for a reason. Amen. God allowed you to go through that pain for a reason. Why do we say this? Because many of us don't know who we are until we come into God. The same very things that we thought were painful in our life, God will, like I said before a couple of weeks ago, he will use that same thing to birth a ministry into you. Amen? If you dealt with abuse, he'll teach you how to help people that are in abuse get out of abuse. Because you've learned by forgiving the past. Amen? This is the ultimate story of forgiveness when Joseph reveals who he is to his brothers. Right? Joseph could have killed all of them. He could have made them all go to the jail. He could have said, okay, I spent 17 years in prison and jails, slaving. You need to get, it's your turn. Right? But he said, God, in verse 5, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here, sent me before you to preserve life. Amen. This is Joseph understanding God's plan. He understands that God sent him here. It says, for the 2 years that the famine has been in the land, for these 2 years that the famine has been in the land, and there are still five in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. He's understanding why he's placed there. Amen. And it's very important to understand this, because if we don't know why we are here, we have to ask God, why am I here? Right? We have to ask him, why am I here? What is the plan? I'm trying to understand it. But Joseph understands it. Through all that time, he now realizes, man, they set me up. They got me here. Didn't know why I'm here. I built my relationship with God. He shows me how to use the gifts that he's given me. Now I'm using these gifts. Now I'm ruling Egypt. All for my brothers and my family to have a lineage to continue. Because check this out. If Joseph would have been like, I give up, I quit, I'm not nobody, I'm just going to be a slave for the rest of my life, I'm just going to be in jail for the rest of my life, I might as well wild out. This guy's talking about me in jail. Let me show him a little bit, right? Some of us, we get knocked off our purpose, our plan. We lose the handle. We fly off the handle, right? But in flying off the handle, we're not understanding God's plan. I think some of the hardest things in life, at least for me, some of the hardest times in life that causes you to question God the most. It doesn't make me say, God, I'm gonna leave you. It's like, God, I need an answer. But for some people, when they get those hard times, they run from God. God is not real. I can't prove him. Let me try something that I can tangibly touch. Let me get something that I can feel, right? But guess what? God is something that you could feel. Because during those times when you feel like it's hectic, there's nothing else that you can't hear anything, you're trying to get it, it's that still small voice. Because you said, okay, God, I'm still going to, I understand I'm dealing with all this, but I'm going to fight to hear you. I'm going to fight to understand why I'm here. Amen? And in understanding, look, I always tell people this. When you're going through a situation and it continues to happen, it continues to happen, it continues to happen, guess what? You need to ask God, why is this happening? Why am I going in circles? Because if you don't pass the test, you're going to keep going in circles. Right? If you continue to do the same thing over and over, they actually call that insanity. And you want a different result, that's insanity. But you say, okay, God, I don't understand it. And I had a situation like that, and I didn't want to pray to God. I was headed to work one day, and I was like, man, turn this music on. Turn the music on loud. I'm driving. I'm like, man, I better pray. Holy Spirit, like, you better pray. And I'm like, oh, turn the music off. And I pray, and he said, until you learn why you're here, you're not moving on. Until you learn why you're here, you're not going to move to that next level. And when I caught that, I was like, okay, man, now we can move on. Why? Because God showed me while I was there. What did I have to learn? Most of the time is learning to trust him still. Most of the time is saying, okay, God, I don't have it all figured out. And for men or people in general, like, people always make it seem like men are prideful. Everybody is prideful. Right? That's why ladies want to always tell you they're smarter than you. Right? Right, President? Yeah. She said, yeah. We don't want to. But I'm just saying, if you watch TV, they try to prove that women are smarter. Right? That's a pride thing. But I'm not on a man or woman thing. I'm just saying. You have to understand that we all have pride that needs to be decreased. The Bible says, humble yourself or he will humble you. Pretty much. If you try to exalt yourself, you will be cast down. If you humble yourself, God will raise you up. Amen. And part of understanding God's plan is saying, I need to be humble to understand that this is not me. The reason I'm doing things is not me. It's not because I'm some great guy. It's not because I had all the training. I was the best of my class. That doesn't matter with God. All you need to recognize is that God placed me here. Now I need to do what he has placed me here for. If you're the president of the United States, it's the same thing. If you're a king, it's the same thing. If you're a doctor, it's the same thing. God placed me here. When people want to credit you for all the glory that you did, all the great things, you say, no, it wasn't me, it was God. It's that simple. That's why I love Christian athletes. When they ask you, how did you do it? Oh, to God be the glory. Why? Because they deflect the praise and give it to God. Because that's what the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen? It says in verse 8, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. All right, see, we got to realize that if Joseph was never sold into slavery, he would have never led Pharaoh. Man, that's powerful. He went from a slave sold to Egypt to being the head man in Egypt. Right? But he didn't plan that out. Right? He didn't come in there with a plan that, oh man, we can just sneak our way into the White House if we go in there as a servant, and 30 years later, he didn't make that plan up. God made it. And that's the crazy thing about God. He takes the unknown, the craziest circumstance to glorify himself. Why does he have to take somebody like Joseph? Because Joseph had been at the bottom. He had lost his mind trying to figure out what was going on. He wasn't satisfied, but he had to press into God so he can find out why he is there. Amen? And I'm not saying that you have to be broke. I'm not telling you that you have to go to the end of your rope. But whatever it takes for you to realize that God is God and I'm just a pawn in his game and I'm just trying to do what he has for me, whatever it takes, that's what God's going to do. And the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So whatever that takes in your life, he's going to do it. Right? If that means some things need to be taken away so you can see him, that's what's going to happen. If it means that in the end of your life, if you didn't give your life to him, you got to go to hell, that's what's going to happen. Why? Because he gave you those chances. Amen? And let me even share this. Part of their chance is by us sharing the gospel. Amen. We have to share the gospel. That's part of God's plan. There was no gospel during this time, but he is sharing who God is. Amen. And when we share the gospel, we share simply who God is. He's a loving God. And that's what Joseph shares. It says in verse 9, hurry up, go to my father and say to him, your son Joseph, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. Okay? And basically they went and get Israel. He comes to Egypt and lives with Joseph. And this is a powerful story, and I'm not going to read the rest of the chapters because it just continues to talk about what went on in that story. But through Joseph, God elevated him to take care of his family. Amen? Amen. And some of Joseph's sons, what was Joseph's son's name? Manasseh. Now, whose father was Manasseh? No, not Joseph. And they had Moses. One of them had Moses, right? I'm sorry. But through this situation, Moses was birthed. Why? And I'm not going to get into Moses' story, but it's the same thing that Abraham was promised. They're going to go into this land. For years, they're going to be here. Basically, what happens after Joseph, the king, the Pharaoh of that land forgot about all the great things Joseph's God did. Why? Because people forgot to tell him what happened. Right? It's the same thing today. People, God is not real. Well, the Christian that sits next to him at the job doesn't ever tell you how real God is. So now that we live in a world that says we don't believe God is real. Because you're not sharing what God has done. Amen? So they forget. Then they're like, these Hebrews are too big. There's too much. Let's start killing their kids. But one mom says, nah, you're not killing my kid. I'm just do whatever I can to keep them. And she sends them in a boat. And you guys know the rest. If you don't know, we'll find out soon. Amen? That's a great thing about the Bible. This is not just some stories made up. This is real life. This is God's plan being revealed to each and every one of these people. Amen. And it's powerful because through these stories, we can understand that no matter what I go through, if I continue to keep my eyes on Jesus, who the Bible says is the author and the finisher of my faith, I know that he has a plan for me. Amen. And by walking in him, and doing what he called me to do, he will reveal his plan. And sometimes it will be using the gifts that you have. Matter of fact, I think every time God gives you a plan, it's going to utilize the gifts he's given you. There are some things that God has given you that he hasn't given me. And that being used for God and his kingdom is going to be powerful. Amen? Like my brother Michael is a mechanic. Thank God, because I can't do half the stuff he does. Right? But that's a gift God gave him. He can put things together. You see the brothers that are building these stairs. If I was doing it, I don't even think I would have chopped the things right. Right? Because that's not my gift. But when we put these gifts, the talents that God gave us together for him, we can do mighty things for the kingdom of God. Amen? So I just want to encourage you, use the gifts God has given you. Some of us look at the gifts and say, oh man, it's not that big. But it is big when you allow God to use it. Amen? Some people look at, oh, Marquise, you're just doing that rap thing, that radio thing. Man, God can use that and share the gospel, to share the gospel with people all over the world. I've seen it happen. I can look at my stats and say, man, people in Africa, people in China are listening to my radio show. Wow! These are people that some people can't even hear the gospel there, but they get the gospel through my radio show. So I continue to use the gifts to allow God to be impacted, or God's kingdom to be impactful. Amen. Let us stand.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.